I do want to invite you this morning to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 2. Noting that all through the Old Testament writings, the Psalms, all through the prophets, there are countless references to the coming of the Messiah, right? To the coming of Jesus. No more so than in the book of Isaiah, which is why oftentimes Isaiah is called the gospel according to Isaiah, or the fifth gospel. Noting, even if we didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we would be able to get a really good sense of who Jesus is. We'd learn a lot about who Jesus is simply from Isaiah alone. Isaiah is the most quoted of the Old Testament, quoted in the New Testament, more than any other book in the Old Testament. And so with that in mind, I want us to head to Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to spend some time here over the next few weeks centering ourselves around what are some of the kind of traditional Advent readings, noting that Advent, it comes from the Latin translation of the Greek parousia meaning the coming or the arrival. Advent being this kind of month-long, four-week season where we center ourselves, where we spend time remembering, reflecting, preparing, even celebrating, right, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus on earth. And so with that, again, for today, Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to look at the first five verses, or read the first five verses. Page 484, if you're grabbing a pew Bible, the words will be on the screen behind me. I'm going to invite Cliff to come on up. He's going to read for us Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, and then I will pray, and we'll get to work.
This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle dispute for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Thank you, Cliff. Let's pray. God, as we gather this morning, as we gather to worship you, to praise you, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the light, for your light, the light that is you. And we pray that light would now shine in us and through us. And as we dive into your word, as we consider your teaching, may we be changed today. May you be in and under and all through my words. And may we leave here other than when we first came in, because we've met you here today. We commit this time to your care for your purpose and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I've mentioned in past years, it's still true today that I really love all things Christmas. And by love here, I mean enjoy, right? But I really love all things Christmas. I love Christmas trees. I love the smell. I love the shape. I love bringing one into the home and just the aroma that it provides. You might recall I've said before, noble fir, that's God's tree, right? I love the noble fir. Every year we have a noble fir. However, this year we do not. This year we have a giant sequoia. I'm not sure how that happened. In fact, we didn't even know we had a giant sequoia. We knew it wasn't a noble fir. We didn't know we had a giant sequoia until we sent a picture to Phil. And Phil told us we had a giant sequoia. So this year, not a noble fir, but it is a giant sequoia. Beautiful. We love it. Very different. But I love Christmas trees. I love Christmas lights. I love wrapping the tree in lights. And I love the lights to be all white. I just love the simplicity. I love Christmas music. It's no secret, I love Christmas movies, Hallmark movies. Watched a few again. I know they're rinse and repeat, but but love some Hallmark movies. I love the responses of children answering questions related to the Christmas story. So a couple of my favorites. To the question, what gifts did the wise men bring to Jesus? J.H. 5 said the wise men gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Don't know what smur is, but somebody, if you would Google that, see what smur is. He says, but I think he would have liked wrestling toys better. I think that maybe would have been Esau and Jacob. I think he was getting that story. Esau and Jacob, probably wrestling toys. L.E.H. 5, she says, the three wise men brought Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not smur, but myrrh. No real presents. I feel sorry for him. When asked what animals were there when baby Jesus was born, Matthew 6, he responded, there were sheep, horses, and a crocodile at the stable. So I think he might have been from Florida. He's a Florida kid. Hannah 7, she said there was a donkey, a sheep, and a cow there, as well as Mary and Joseph. It sounds quite crowded. Quite crowded indeed. Who was the angel Gabriel? Aaron says, the angel Gabriel is a big white fairy. He helped Mary and Joseph look after the baby, kind of like a doctor. So kind of like. Catherine 9, she says, Gabriel was this herald angel. He was a boy, but he is played by a girl in Christmas plays. Millie, age 7, I don't know who the angel is, but I like Jesus. Very sweet. And then, who is Jesus? Jordan 5 says, Jesus was a king and he wore a crown, even though he was a baby. It was a really small crown. And Sarah, age 7, she simply states, Jesus is a mystery man. Jesus is a mystery man, which for many, I think, is true. It can even be true for you and me. Because we can do all things Christmas. Right? We can do all things. We can do all of the shopping and all of the wrapping of gifts and all of the decorating. We can do the trees and the lights and all of the mistletoe. Right? We can do all the music and the Hallmark movies. Right? We can do all things Christmas. And yet even for us, Jesus can be a man of mystery. Right? Meaning left out. Jesus can kind of be lost and left out of the season, which is why for these next few weeks, I really do want to invite us to center ourselves around Advent, and even more than that, Advent, but Jesus, to center ourselves around what is the season of Advent, what author Alfred Delp, what he describes as the time of promise. It is not yet the time of fulfillment. We are still in the midst of everything, and we get it. We get that, right? In the relentlessness of destiny, filled with the noise of destruction and annihilation, the shouts of self-assurance and arrogance, the weeping of despair and helplessness. And we get it, right? As we saw last week, right? For many, including many of us here, Christmas is a lot like living two different sorts of realities. Right? Where on the one hand, absolutely, it is joy and it's wonder and it's delight. Right? And yet on the other, it's stress and it's worry and it's anxiety. As we saw last week, right? Statistics tell us. For many, it's increased loneliness. There's financial pressure. There's deep and great sadness. But, Delp continues, round about the horizon, the eternal realities stand silent in their age-old longing. There shines on them already the first mild light of the radiant fulfillment to come. It is that first mild light, we could say, that John tells us is the light that has come into the world. From the Gospel of John 3:19, this is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light. Right? The first mild light, what is absolutely not the sun and the moon, what is absolutely not the flickering candle behind me, it's absolutely not the incandescent lamps that are all around, but as John records for us, 8 and 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right? The man of mystery is the first mild light, is the light of the world, is the light of life. What is, according to the Gospel of Isaiah, our invitation, right? Come, descendants of Jacob, let us, this Advent season, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, which on one level sounds pretty amazing. Because in one sense, we long for the light. It's the light that brings us the brilliance of color and texture. It's light that gives us all of the beauty and the wonder. It's even light that provides the kind of safety and security from kind of what lurks in the shadows. And so we long for the light, right? We're drawn to the light and the love and the joy and the peace and the hope that it brings. And yet, with that, it is also the light that brings out what is hidden, right? It is the light that reveals what is hidden. And with that, we often become afraid. Afraid of what the light will reveal, afraid of what the light will expose, or afraid of what the light may lay bare, right? Whether that's a sense of failure, right? Something I've done. Maybe it's an embarrassment. Maybe it's a kind of an overwhelming shame that wraps us like a blanket. Right, like Paul writes, the reality, right, that we do the very things we know not to do, and the very things we ought to do, we have left undone. And so, like Adam and Eve in the garden, we hide. We try to hide, afraid for what this light might expose. And so we hide. In other words, we justify, we cover up, we make excuses. Maybe we try to control, we try to manipulate. We lie, we deny, we medicate, we numb it all out, and then the fear begins to rise up, right? And the more fearful we become, the more we hide, and the more we hide, the more fearful we become. And so in our longing, right? In one sense, we could say in our longing, we are shouting yes, while in our fear, we are shouting no, knowing that it is in the light, right? It is here in the light that our desperate longing meets our deepest fears, which brings us to that sort of giving us that great, great sort of counterintuitive message, right? That we are to face, maybe we are to face into our fears, not run from them. Inviting us to lean into our worry and our doubt, not deny them, to move toward our ache and our pain, not move away from. Face, lean into, move toward. This is the message of Advent. It's this invitation, right? Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so we step into the light, right? Knowing and trusting that in some incredible, miraculous way, that light is our life, right? That light is our life. With all of our longings, with all of our fears, that light is our life. And so today I really want to invite us to sit in some time of stillness together and to consider, because we can do all things Christmas. In fact, we might even be really good at it. We can do all things Christmas, and yet I would really invite us this year to intentionally be thinking about what would it look like to live in the light of the Lord. Right? Trees and lights and mistletoe, fantastic. Shopping, wrapping gifts, ornaments, awesome. And yet, putting all of that aside just for a moment, what would it look like to dive deep into the center of what this season is about? What dive deep into the center of this light and ask, what would it look like to walk in the light of the Lord, right? To open our eyes to see the beauty. I know a number of you have already commented that when you came in, the beauty that is behind me. Right? And how about the beauty that is sitting next to you? The beauty that's sitting behind you and in front of you. Right? To walk in the light of the Lord, to see all the beauty and the wonder and the delight that is all around us, even here in this room. To see the miracle that is life and love. To walk in the light. What would it look like to walk in the light of the Lord? And with that, we can kind of even consider, how might I notice? How might I pay attention to the beauty and wonder and delight that is all around me? To daily practice an awareness of God's light shining all around. Right, again, this light is not the sun or moon. It's not that flickering candle that's going to eventually go out. It's not the incandescent lamps that don't last forever. Right, this is the light of our Lord. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. Right, for all eternity, into every situation, into every circumstance, into every condition. What would it look like to daily practice an awareness of God's light? And then with that, I think also then to consider, what is God inviting me to bring into the light? Right? Because for all of our longing and all of the beauty and the wonder and the delight, right, there are the fears and the worries and the aches. And so what is God inviting me to bring into the light? What fear, what failure, what loss, what regret, what resentment? We could ask, what have I been keeping hidden from the light? What have I been keeping? Is it pride? Is it greed? Dishonesty? Unforgiveness? What have I been keeping hidden from the light? And then what would it look like to bring all of that into the light? What would it look like to bring all of that hidden stuff? What would it look like to bring that into the light? And then with that, it's also our invitation to be a light. Right? To consider, how is God inviting me to bring light into the dark places? And we can think, in light of last week too, maybe it's a friend who is overcome with loneliness. Maybe it's someone you know who this year, for whatever reason, is experiencing increasing loneliness. And maybe it's an opportunity to make a phone call, pay a visit, write a letter, have a cup of coffee. We can think of the financial stress. Maybe it's a family member who's experiencing a great financial pressure. And maybe instead of that gift, maybe it's an offering to help. Maybe a family member who is dealing with that deep sadness, a deep and great sadness. Maybe there's a family member, a friend, a neighbor, I don't know, but maybe someone who is experiencing maybe some deep sadness. And so, again, an opportunity to step into that place. How is God inviting us to bring light into the dark places? And so let's sit and reflect for a little bit, and then Roger will come up in just a bit and give us a closing song. But Jesus is this man of mystery. Jesus is the light that has come into the world. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.